I'll be reading from Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us. Since God is who he is, it only stands to reason that everything God does is good, and even fearing God properly has benefits attached to it. God reveals to himself to us as our Father. As we were discussing in parenting class this morning, it's really how we need to become to understand God. Those individuals who are blessed to be parents have an understanding of what love is in a way they never had it before. When you are given that little baby, that little person is placed in your hands, I understand that you probably thought you love them. When we first heard we were pregnant, we just started thinking about this baby and we couldn't wait to meet him. But there is no substitute. There are no words. You'll have to talk to the people who experienced it. When at last you hear the first cries, when at last the doctor says, he's a boy, she's a girl, here's your baby. And when you see fathers crying and weeping, mothers generally just exhausted, crying and weeping, that moment in time when the baby is now here and we are now parents, there is a love and an understanding of that that you just cannot appreciate until you're in that situation. And whatever that is, and however you describe that, what you must come to understand is the Bible teaches that we are God's children and that God is our Father. Acts 17:29 says we are his offspring. That is a very nice way to describe our relationship with God. And so when we're thinking about fearing God, we're thinking about being in reverence of God, it wouldn't be beyond the pale for you to think about your father, think about your mother, think about your parents, and how you grew up, hopefully, if the relationship were proper, having an awe of them, having a high, high thought and regard for them. Now, if you can just extrapolate that out, God is infinite in every way. He is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, he is all-seeing, he is absolutely holy and righteous and good and loving. If you can begin to formulate these thoughts in your mind, then you can appreciate better this concept of fearing God biblically and properly. And to that end, there would be and there are immediate benefits to such a relationship and one's proper view of that relationship. There are two thoughts tonight as we continue I'd like for you to hold in your mind. Two thoughts summed up in these two words. Number one, attitude. The second word is action. If you fear God, what is your attitude toward God? You could see how it would immediately affect your attitude. And if you fear God, it would immediately affect your actions. For as we described this morning, as I heard the young people singing this afternoon, he sees, he knows, he's aware. Everything that happens, happens in front of God. Everything that happens, happens with the knowledge of God. A professor would open his class every year in seminary school, and he would open it with this analogy. He would say to his students, when we speak of God, we must speak as if we are speaking to him face to face. For there is nothing that is hidden from God. There is nothing he does not know. There is nothing he does not see. We must speak of God and to God and behave as if it is happening face to face. That is the force and nature of the presence of God in our lives. Just a cursory reading through the book of Proverbs, where we start this evening in Proverbs chapter 1 in verses 1 through 7. In that very book alone, there were nearly 20 different things said about benefits of the fear of God, or things related to fearing God. Just one book, not the 66 books, just one book hones in and talks about what it means to fear God and how one would be affected and impacted in his life. Let's note a few of them tonight. What we had read for us in verse number 1 is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I have said it before, so I'll say it again to make a point here. I am thoroughly encouraged and blessed to speak to such an audience of people who are constantly thinking and constantly spiritual in their actions and in their beings. And so there are times when I'm not going to go into lengthy discussions about every single point. I feel like I'm pretty convinced you can do that on your own and you understand it. And so as we go through these, we'll do that briefly because there's just so many of them. But what I would ask is for you to really, really, really think about each one. When a verse says that something is the beginning of knowledge, then you and I need to stop and begin to unpack what that is saying. We live in God's world with God's laws, in God's arranged and God's orderly universe. And God, everything made here is about God. And in Acts 17, Paul says, among other things, verse 27, he made us that they might seek the Lord. Now, here in a section of scripture that's described as wisdom literature, in the first 7 verses, it says, the fear of the Lord. There's the beginning of knowledge. As you think about that and the accumulated knowledge you have gleaned through the years, think about attitude and action and what that is saying. A proper fear of God, that's where you start learning. Don't do anything else. Don't go anywhere else. Don't look anywhere else. Start here. So what are we to teach young people? The beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord. I can't do that with every single one of these, but what I'm suggesting to you is, as you see them on the screen, don't let this be the whole of your study. Because this isn't study. This is preaching. One person talking and exhorting, one person opening the scriptures and yuling, throwing God's, heralding God's message. That's what this is. It's not study. No, you need to take your study beyond these walls. And you need to take, as I move through slide after slide after slide, there will be so many things on these slides. And here is one that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, if you don't have that, then whatever knowledge you have, it cannot be that which serves and benefits your life ultimately, because you're more than physical. Your attitude and your actions be greatly benefited if you fear the Lord. It is simply in Scripture, the genesis of knowledge, the beginning of knowledge. Number 2, if you were to read chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs, you will hear the father call his son near, and he will say to him early, in about verse 10 and 11, right in that area, he will say, son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come to us and throw in your purse with us and cast your lot with us, don't go with them. And then as he continues through the account and through that section of scripture, he'll begin to talk about wisdom. And he'll say in verse number 19, 18, right in that area, verse 20, wisdom cries without. And so wisdom wants to be heard. And wisdom and knowledge are going to be used almost interchangeably throughout the book. And where is wisdom? Where does knowledge begin? Well, verse 7. And so here, actions. Sons, sinners are trying to entice you. They're trying to get you to go. Don't go. Why would your actions and not go? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, as you go through the chapter, it's rejected. Wisdom is rejected. The knowledge of God is rejected. And then calamity strikes. And at the end of chapter 1, these are the words that are found near the end of that chapter. After the calamity, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why not? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Verse 27, the Bible says, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. The reason that's important is the word when. It doesn't say if it happens. It says when it happens. When one rejects the fear of the Lord, he or she sets themselves on a path that will inevitably lead to destruction. And if not in an immediate way, certainly in an absolute way. But then they'll call, God says, wisdom says, and I will not hear, for they did not choose the fear of the Lord. This wisdom, this knowledge, is this fear of God. It's connected to the word of God. This is Proverbs chapter 2. Now, later in the chapter, down in verse number 6, he talks about God giving wisdom, talks about understanding fear. But you have to understand the first 5 verses. Listen to what he says. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up the voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What's not on the slide is verse number 6. For the Lord giveth knowledge, out of his mouth cometh wisdom and understanding. How are you going to understand? It only stands to reason that God would point you to his revelation to understand fearing him. Because it's in here that you begin to see the character of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the eternality of God, the all-knowing nature of God. It's in his word that you began to see God. And when you see him, then you'll understand. You'll understand the knowledge of God by understanding the fear of God. It's connected to his word. Well, as you continue through the book, the proverb writer just keeps on talking about benefit after benefit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, chapter 3 will urge, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. One commentator said the health and the marrow is words used to describe life-giving sustenance. He referred to it as the umbilical cord that sustains and gives life to the baby. In that same way, health and marrow to your navel. The umbilical cord sustains and provides nutrition and sustenance for the baby. And so too God's word, he argued, does that for the soul. It shall be health to thy bones, to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Note again how the contrast is. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him. The directing of one's paths. When you're reading the Bible, it's imperative you don't jump out of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. How is he going to direct your paths? How is that going to happen? Generally, what people do is they look for some direct intervention on the part of God. In 2017, he's going to tell me where to work, what to do, how to live. He's going to tell me. I'm just waiting on a call. I'm just waiting on God to answer. I'm waiting on. If you just stop, go back. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Where's the instruction? Chapter 2. The Lord gives knowledge, out of his mouth comes wisdom and instruction. If you seek for her, if you search for her, if you, all of those statements in chapter 2 about God's word, and then it comes from his mouth. And so, trust in the Lord, fear him, he'll guide you. Where would you look for that guidance? Where would you look for the instruction? Where would you look for the path and the direction of life if not in his word, out of his mouth? You know, that's the exact language we use when we're preaching 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then I hear preachers quote the Greek word there, theopneustos, and they tell us that it's a compound word, theo and pneustos, and God breathed out the words. That's exactly the point. Your heavenly Father has spoken. Your heavenly Father has given wisdom. Your heavenly Father has given counsel. He wants to direct your paths. The fear of the Lord would do that. You see, that would affect your attitude, and that would affect your action, because you would seek him. I would seek him. I would search for his wisdom, his counsel. You know, that's exactly what earthly parents do. They sit their children down and they give them their wisdom. They sit their children down and they give them their counsel. They sit their children down and give them their instruction. And what do they hope to accomplish? They hope to direct their paths. How's it going to happen? The children are going to trust the words of the parents, heed the instruction, and their paths will be directed. It is certainly no different with your heavenly Father. And what drives all of that? The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Be not wise in your own eyes. Trust God. The fear of the Lord would have us do that. The fear of the Lord then, with that in mind, would have us, as I heard Brother Ote preach a couple of weeks ago, would have us hating what God hates and loving what God loves. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. You're reading through the book of Proverbs, you'll get to chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, and the writer will say, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and on and on and on he goes. And whatever God hates, because you fear him, I hate that too. I want to stand with God, don't you? I want to look out over the world the way God looks out over the world. I want to see what God sees, feel and believe what God feels and believes, think the way God thinks. And if God says that's evil, well, then I want to say what my Father said is evil. What he loves, I love. What he hates, I hate. My fear, reverence for him, makes me side with him, and it really doesn't matter who is on the other side. I want to hate what he hates. The fear of the Lord drives that. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. We used the word knowledge earlier. The proverb writer says here the word wisdom, chapter 9. As you see, just moving through the book over and over and over and over again. Here in chapter 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word wisdom means skillful or wisely or wit. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Catch the last phrase. It's actually said twice, so you will see it again, but since it's here, let's note it. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Can a person lengthen their days? It's not the only person. That's the only passage that says it's not the only one. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. that thou mayest live long upon the earth. What does the fear of the Lord do? It affects my attitude and my actions. And since it does, there are some things I won't do. And as a result of not doing those things, I might lengthen my days. Back to chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what the sinners in chapter 1 are going to do? Somebody among them thought it was a good idea to go rob people. That's chapter 1. What is he telling his son to avoid? My son, when sinners entice thee and they say, come with us, we're going to, our language, rob people. We're going to hunt for blood. We're going to go kill and rob and pillage. My son, don't go with them. What's he going to do if he doesn't go? Lengthen his days. The fear of the Lord. By me thy day shall be multiplied. When you have the fear of the Lord and you hear ideas, even as a young person, you will hear it and the fear of the Lord will say to you, that's foolish. I can't get involved in that. Y'all about to do what? We're about to break into the school. Good night. I'm not going down. We're going to wait, and when somebody comes, we're going to jump. Mm-mm. I don't want any part of that. And not enough young people. Not enough young people were taught the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And without the fear of the Lord, many a young person was swept away with friends, so-called friends, bad company, and their lives have been some shortened, others incarcerated, or worse. Fear of the Lord is wisdom. It is, and that which will multiply your years. In fact, the very next passage, chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Attitude and actions. The fear of the Lord lengthens days. Chapter 14, there's confidence in it. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Would you hold that passage in your mind and then apply it throughout the Bible and see if it's so? How was Joseph able to go through what he went through? Attitude and actions. You remember Joseph? I can't do this great wickedness and sin against God. And because Joseph didn't sin with Miss Potiphar, went to jail, got out, second in command, any strong confidence. Joseph knew he didn't do anything wrong. Strong confidence. How can Esther say, if I perish, I perish? Strong confidence when you have the fear of the Lord. The three Hebrew boys stand before Nebuchadnezzar and they say, oh king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. But be it known unto you, we will not bow. Strong confidence. Jesus in the face of Pilate. Have you heard what they're saying about you? Do you know I could? Do you know I could? You wouldn't have any power that wasn't given unto you. The Apostle Paul before the Sanhedrin. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. We can't help but speak the things which we've seen. And you just march your way through the Bible, and that's true. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Why? Because as God is for you, Romans chapter 8, who can be against you? And what's the worst the world can do? Take your life and send you home to your heavenly Father? Paul said it's better and more desirable. Philippians chapter 3. It's strong confidence in the fear of the Lord. It's the spring of life. The fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of delight of life to depart from the snares of death. It just continues like this all the way through, not just the book, obviously, but through the whole of the Bible. It is a spring of a fountain of life, a proper attitude toward the God of heaven. The fear of the Lord, reverence for God, contentment. Solomon is frequent in his writings to say better. This is better than that. You'll really find it in the book of Ecclesiastes, but sometimes in the Proverbs. Here he says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Our culture and our country and our time will certainly cause us to challenge this thought. For they are going to constantly tell us, better is more. Get more. Get more. Better. More is better. Just get more. Well, what about the people? Don't worry about the people. If you get a big enough house, everybody will be happy. If you get the right kind of car, everybody will be happy. You got the car. If you just have enough stuff, everybody will be happy. What we have learned by experience is, it's not true. There are a lot of people in our country, even in the Lord's church, who have the same memory. It goes something like this. We were two young people, didn't know what we were doing, didn't have a whole lot of stuff, but we had love. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but we had each other. And we were in a studio apartment, eating out of plastic silverware, but we had each other. We had one TV, and it was a small one, and a little box TV with the big bag, but we had each other. And then, through hard work, a lot of stress, a lot of toil, we began to make it. We had our babies in that little place, and we began to move forward. And before you knew it, all of those years of minimal and not making it and barely made it, it paid off. And before you knew it, we bought a bigger house. And we bought better cars. And our children got older and we had more money. We had more stuff. And we thought everything was great. And one day we came in the house and everybody was going to their own rooms. All the doors closed in the house. There's a whole bunch of fighting, always something in the air, just couldn't figure it out. And one day we all sat there and it just hit us. We were the happiest we'd ever been. Way back there in that little studio apartment, eating off paper plates. Struggling along. We thought all this stuff was going to make us happy, but no. It has caused us more issues and difficulty to have it. We had some good times back then. The Bible is right. It is better. I'm not saying that's how you got to live. I'm not saying you couldn't be happy that way over here. I'm simply saying our culture and our world teaches us you're failing here. You're not as you ought here. The only thing that's important is there. And all you need to do is push, push, push until at last you can say. And when you do, they tell us that's when you're going to know. Not necessarily. No, not at all. The Bible is right. Better. Better with a little. And the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble. Better to eat just some little vegetables than to have a house and a land and an estate that's large enough to have oxes in the stalls but have hatred in the house. The fear of the Lord gives contentment. Benefits of the fear of the Lord throughout the entire book. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 15:33. Or this one, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, listen to it, men depart from evil. Attitudes and actions. The fear of the Lord should drive it. And when we properly fear the Lord, we will depart from evil. Why? Because of his nature. Because because he knows, because he sees, because he is aware of everything I do. I would not want to do evil in his presence. He sees me. I'll not do that because God sees me. That's Joseph's point. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. Love this one. You want to be rich and you want honor? Well, fear the Lord. Because Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Attitude and actions. It will drive everything. When you talk about people in business and those who do great and have huge successes, oftentimes those people talk in that term. They may not use the expression fear of the Lord, but they're humble people, and generally they're talking about doing right by people, providing a good service, a good product, and you do right by your customers, you be honest in your dealings. What's driving that? Okay, maybe they don't have the fear of the Lord as that which drives it, but what the verses says is when you're humble and you have a right attitude toward God, the actions that follow, riches and honor and life. The fear of the Lord. There simply seems to be nothing that's not beneficial. Even fearing the Lord properly has all of these benefits attached to it. Let me close with this thought. Have your Bibles. Join me in 1 John chapter 4. This is what happens when you don't want to start a series. You try to close a thought, but you need to say like 14 more hours of stuff, and you don't want to do that. So you close it with the right thought at the end that would incorporate those 14 lessons. And here it is. Generally, when people talk about fear, and we have the concept of fear, it's proper, let me say that. When children are young, they should be taught to fear their parents in a reverent way, and they should, and generally they do. You don't want your parents being aware of everything you did when you weren't around them, do you? You can't imagine if your parents were actually all seeing. They would have seen everything. I mean, we're here today thankful that there's some stuff they don't know. To this hour, they don't know it, and aren't you glad? Early in life, what you're most concerned with is, if they find out, they will do this to me. And this is never pleasant. They're going to spank me. They're going to chastise me. They're going to punish me. They're going to harm me. And so what fear does when it's not proper, or sometimes even when it is, it can have this notion to it. I'm concerned about what's going to happen to me. Well, God wants us to at least be conscious and aware of a right relationship with him and have that understanding. He will judge. There will be consequences, and that's true. But the Bible doesn't end there. Hopefully, our relationship with God doesn't end there. Because fear is supposed to grow and blossom into love. And that's what John says. 1 John 4, verse number 18. John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We should never be afraid of God. That's why there's two words. One is reverence, awe. The other is fright. If you miss the awe part, you might drift to the fright part. And if you're afraid of God, well, then the relationship is not going to blossom. And sometimes that happens in parenting. Some children are afraid of their parents. I'm afraid to disappoint them. I'm afraid to let them down. I'm afraid. Okay, that's not proper. Fear is concerned with what will happen to me in that setting. When it grows and blossoms into love, it reverses itself. And love, when fear gives way to love, love is concerned with what this would do to my father. Fear would concern itself with what's going to happen to me. Think about it for just a moment with your parents. When you grow up, you don't want to disappoint them, don't want to disappoint them, don't want to disappoint them. When you get to be a parent, when you get older, and you come to know what your parents have done for you, how they've provided, what they went through, what they went without so that you could have, when you get to that space, there are times you don't want to do something because it would hurt them. Such is the nature of our relationship with God. At first, God sees me. God knows I'm afraid. He's going to get me, okay? But if you learn Him, and you learn Jesus, and you learn what He's done for you, you learn how much He loves you, and you learn how good He's been, hopefully, what grows out of that is, I don't want to do that, because my father would see it, and it would hurt him. So John says, there's no fear in love. When you love God properly, fear diminishes, gives way to love. There are great benefits to having a right attitude about God. That attitude is one of reverence, one of awe, one of fear. But that, even that, grows and blossoms into, I don't think God's going to get me. But if my Heavenly Father were watching me right now, and He is, I sure wouldn't want to do that, because it would hurt Him. You're not a Christian tonight, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. Be immersed in water and let Jesus save you from your sins. Two words we talked about tonight. I hope you'll go home, unpack these things further, and really, really, really think about your relationship with God, its development, its growth, and your relationship with Him in terms of love. Having a right attitude and actions towards someone who loves you more than you and I would ever know. If that is your situation this evening, you need to make anything right. Come home. Your Father loves you. He'll ever have you back. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.